told me that to be true. And there's several of those songs. I can put that on at 8 in the morning and still be listening to that same song about 5 in the afternoon. And you hear it and you go, boy, that's just resonating, that truth of that song. Anybody feel like that this morning? And boy, it just intersects you right where you are. If you're thankful that the Lord used Heartland this morning, would you say amen and give them another hand, give them another round of applause? Amen. And they'll be out in the lobby at the end of the service. They've got a table and things set up. I hope you'll avail yourself of that. And if you're like me, maybe there's a song or two, and I'm gonna get that CD for that, and just put it on loop and let the Lord minister to our hearts and to my heart as well. Psalm 101 this morning. Psalm 101, just for a little bit today, Psalm 101. And I want to give you a challenge this morning, and to hear from the music and then to hear from the Word sounds, or have our hearts touched with the music and you've sung, and I think that's kind of the way we ought to do it, right? And so Psalm 101, stand with us one more time. We read just 4 verses, Psalm 101. Maybe the preacher ought to get there. And Psalm 101, if you're willing and able, stand, we read God's Word. Verse 1, I will sing of mercy and of judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So those last 3 words with me, I will sing. Will I sing? Excuse me, I straightened it out for you. Will I sing? Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. How many of you, this sounds like a good idea, by the way? Tough. Easier to live in public and put on the front than it is to do what you're supposed to when the doors are closed and nobody's looking. David the king says, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave unto me. Verse 4, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will guard my heart. I will not know. I will not intimately link myself with a wicked person. If you'll allow this morning, I will. I will. Pray with me. Father, front to back, left to right, those that will be watching online, would you speak to hearts? Help me to communicate what you have impressed upon me, Lord, what you communicated and led me to, Lord, some many weeks ago now, as I was thinking about this service and wanting to make sure that what we said was clear and concise. And so I pray that you would work. I pray that you would stir us and challenge us, not to lose weight, not to get in shape, not to get our house in order, not to clean out the closets, not to organize the garage. Lord, not to do those things that are helpful, but to do these things that are needful. And remind us again that there needs to be some I wills in our lives. And I pray you would help us as we look out over 2022 in a new year, if you tarry, you're coming, that we would be about your business. So Spirit of God, speak to hearts. Help me right now to preach your word with power and authority. Use me and fill me, I pray. And we will be careful to give you honor and glory for what you do. And ask in your son's wonderful name. And amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I will. When we're thinking about some of these kind of things, I love the Psalms. And I love, again, if you want to look, it goes about 13 verses here. There's some things he will do and some things he won't do. And he's writing here, and it's David the king. And it's really, in a sense, he is walking us through some of these things. And so as I'm preaching this, I'm not just going to say I will, but you will, or your life. And then at the end, we'll leave with some of those I wills. So let me just ask you, anybody here ever get kind of off track? Anybody ever get off track? Anybody, you start doing something and you see something else that needs to be done? And then you start working on that thing that needs to be done, and then maybe a phone call or interruption, or your phone goes, and you answer that, and you get back and you go, oh, I forgot the dishes were over here. Anybody, you circle back to the original task 2 or 3 hours later and you wonder anything, what happened? Anybody that's happened to? How many of you are doing that right now? You came to service, but you're playing Wordle on your phone, and you have that happen. I love our app. I love the fact you can do all this stuff digitally. And I keep thinking, there's people right now on ESPN going, go, 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 during the service, because we're easily distracted, aren't we? Easily distracted. If you can do that on a daily basis, I think you get off track in an annual basis, on a life basis. I think every now and then you turn and you look and say, well, what have I been doing? What difference have I made? What have I done to impact the kingdom of God? Or conversely, man, I never meant to go this far. Never meant to go this far. I had a fellow, as God was working in his heart and his life, and this has been years ago now. He said, and his before he came to the Lord, said, I knew I had a problem. Knew I had a problem when I was having my weekly drink at 10 a.m. on Tuesday morning. And it wasn't my first one. I said, I may have a little problem. And of course, his problem just wasn't alcohol. His problem was the fact that he didn't know Jesus. And again, what a wonderful story. But he said, How did I get here? And David is writing at this point. It's like David is writing with ups and downs. And by the way, that's what I love about it. This is not a straight line for him. You ever feel like if I can't do it perfectly, as long as I never procrastinate, as long as I never have up or down. Because some of you, when you first make the mistake, when you first have the hiccup, when you don't come to church, you don't read your Bible for a few days, you're like, oh no, it's all over. The end of the world. David's up and he's down, but he's dogged. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make my life count for Jesus. And yeah, man, I messed up and I shouldn't have done that. And again, some humongous sins. And what does he do? Lord, forgive me. Restore me. Restore the joy that I had. Help me emotionally. And right back up he is. Now, that's something I need. And so I want to work through it. There's three areas that are here. If you're taking notes, if you got the handout this morning, he's gonna cover a few of them. Then I want to give you some I wills that I want to ask you to. And then we're going to take some time at the end of the service to pray and pray for each other and pray for our service. Now, are you with me this morning? Say amen. You with me this morning? First of all, he talks about three areas in those four verses. First off, he talks about your walk with the Lord. Go to verse 1. I will sing a mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. He is talking exclusively here about his personal walk with the Lord. There's a few other things. He mentions two areas. He mentions mercy and he mentions judgment or justice. Some of you have got study Bibles and you see that note there. He's talking about the steadfast love of the Lord. How many of you are glad that God's love is not up and down and sideways and fickle like a teenage girl? No offense, teenage girls. Or a teenage boy. Now, how many of you are glad God is not capricious and up and down with us like we are with some people? Anybody in here, you ever been grumpy and you didn't know why? Anybody know anybody in here has been grumpy and you didn't know why? My wife used to joke, said sometimes somebody asked her, did you ever wake up grumpy? And she says, no, sometimes I let him sleep. That's the dad joke for the morning. We're up and down, we're sideways. He's steadfast. Someone said, mercy is not getting what I do deserve. I think that's a pretty good definition. Dave Ramsey popularized that sentiment. Somebody says, how are you, Dave? And he says, better than I deserve. You know what he's saying? That's mercy. That's blessing. Say, life's not fair. Hallelujah, life is not fair. Man, life was fair, we'd all be in a devil's hell, amen? But because it's not fair, because the Son of God took my sin on His cross, then I get this opportunity, what they sang about, the blessing of heaven and to be right with God. And he sings here with an intimate knowledge, thank you. It's a theological thing for him. It's an intimacy. I know who God is. I am thankful for His mercy. I think that's one of the things y'all do in your life. I am thankful that God has dealt better with me than I have dealt with Him. That God has been good to me when I have not been good to Him. How many of you are thankful this morning for the mercy of God? Say amen. Man, I'm thankful this morning. And he says justice or judgment. One writer said justice is the idea that wisdom has the information and the ability to always make the right decision. Justice. God always has the information and the ability to always make the right decision. Right decision. Is there anything worse to be around than a sports fan who figures that their team lost because the men in stripes got it wrong? You don't have to be around them long. You don't have to know them. a stranger will walk up to you. Did you see that call? Can you believe those people? Why do they let blind people be referees? They've been bought off. They've been, oh, what a thing. What a thing. You know it's bad when the county mayor gets involved in saying, we won that game. We won that bowl game. I don't care what anybody says. And by the way, he's a 6'4" wrestler. He can say whatever he wants. I ain't going to argue with him. And, you know, and we're here. We can't stand it, right? We can't stand it. Patrolman pulls us over, and we're going, why don't you pull the rest of the people over? You know, I had a patrolman years ago check my speed like that. I asked him about that. He said I couldn't catch him. I went, okay. And he got me. So we can't stand it. We can't stand an inappropriate. Did you realize God never gets it wrong? He's never gotten it wrong. He will always do what is right. In a world of corruptness and chaos, God always gets it right. He always does what is right. David said, I am thankful out of your character you have chosen to deal with me mercifully and inflict upon Christ my penalty, and that you always get it right. God doesn't grade on a curve. There's not 8 ways to heaven. There's not 12 ways to be right with him. There, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will argue with God. We will all one day bow the knee before him, either voluntarily or because we're made to. But he is the King of kings, and he is the perfect judge. And David said, I have learned to live my life this way, and I will sing about God, about who he is. I will sing. There's the personal, your walk with the Lord. Your walk with the Lord. I think one of the things, that, and one of the reasons we get to have the musicians, is to remind us, man, let your radio help feed you. Let your CD player and the MP3, let your phone and your iPhone, all those kind, let it feed you. There's so many of those things. A few years ago, the kids showed me how to loop a YouTube video and just have the music continually playing and find something. Man, let that feed you, but feed it in a way that it makes a big deal out of God. Not that I'm in love with the musician, but when I listen to the musician, the music, I'm more in love with him. And David said, I will sing about the one who is worthy. I will sing about the one who is worthy. He talks about your life in the home. Your life in the home. Go to verse 2. If you would, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will thou come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He talks about living and walking in integrity. How many of you think it's easier to act like you got all together in public than it is in private? Anybody besides me? Like 3 of you? The rest of you too ashamed to lift your hand? I'm not real sure what's going on. Anybody ever struggle a little more with people that know you? I used to joke, best compliment I get in a week is my family that show up to hear me preach. Because they don't see me all dressed up and cleaned up. They see me good, bad, and ugly. Man, to live in integrity, to walk in integrity, in private, your life in the home. David says, I will do this way. I will do this in a blameless way, in a way of integrity. In the domestic areas of my life, this is my hope. This is my prayer. I will do this way. Do this way. And then he talks about a life of holiness. A life of holiness. You still with me this morning? A life of holiness. And if there's a word that doesn't fit in 22, it's holiness. Anybody besides me? It's something, isn't it? It's something. It's something. I was at a restaurant not real long ago, well, last year, and I saw somebody I thought I knew, and I was going to speak to him, getting coffee. Anybody else hear that? I'm going to step over here. So anyway, 3 hairs I got on my head just stood up. And so I was getting coffee, and I thought I saw somebody. And so I walked up, and as I walked up to him, man, they just let out a string of ugly words. And I was already in motion. And they turned around and saw me, and in the same breath, they said, hey, brother. And I wanted to say, I'm moving because God's about to turn you into a greasy spot. And he's going to get me as collateral damage. I don't want to do that. And took God's name in the whole 9 years. What are you doing? No. Man, don't be this way. Say, well, people... I'm not being critical. I'm just saying that our talk ought to match our walk, and our walk ought to match our talk, and our hearts ought to be grieved when we sin against him. So are you preaching perfection? I'm not preaching perfection. I'm preaching affection. I want to please him more than I want to please me. I want to please him more than I want to please the fellows and the ladies at work. I want to please him more than other things. I want to please him. I want to guard my heart, my eyes. Look at verse 3 there. Look at verse 3 again. Go back if you would. Verse number 3. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. The eyes target what our affection is to be about. Advertising is ineffective when it's auditory, as it is less effective when it's auditory only. When you can hear and see, the advertising efficiency skyrockets. I will set no wicked thing. I will not make that the object of my affection. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I will not be colored and stained by voluntary association with those that are doing what is wrong. I will be a Daniel in the midst of a corrupt world who will do what is right. But I will not give in and I will not keep quiet. I will not, he says, I hate the work of him. Man, that's a good heart affection, isn't it? When I love and root for the bad guy in a television show. When I start pulling in a movie and I figure out that there's moral compromise and I'm hopeful that the woman or the man leaves her husband. When I'm around people and they're giving me bad spiritual advice. No, I'm done with that. I've chosen personal holiness. I want to please him. He's the object of my affection. Look at verse 4. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. My life is not going to be characterized by people influencing me to do what's wrong. I will influence them to do what's right, and I will do my best. But this is not going to be my crowd, and this is not going to be my scene. I'm not going to do it. I'm not doing it. A life of personal holiness. With that in mind, let me offer these to you. Let me offer these to you. You still with me? I want to give you 4 things to leave with. We're going to pray and wrap up the service. You still here? Still with me? Number 1, I will sing to God and about God. So I need some goals for 2022. Here you go. I will sing to God and about God. So I don't sing real well. Whistle. I don't whistle real well. Hum. I don't hum real well. Murmur. I will sing to God and about God. Say I don't sing on key or on pitch or whatever. A guy told me one time my timbre was wrong. I said, I can't spell it, and I don't know where to buy it. And he said, just move along. So get there. I'll sing to him. How's your heart? I will sing to him. Sing to him. One of the signs of a revived church is they lift their voices in praise to God. One of the signs that you've been walking with God through the week is that there's a tune on your lips. I'm all for talk radio. I'm all for all kinds of things. I'm all for the podcast and stuff like that. But somewhere there needs to be the time of reflection. A friend of mine, he's got a hymn book, and he's got one, and he's kind of marked it up 365. And every day of the year, he tries to look at a hymn or a song from that book and make sure that his heart is tuned to the Lord. There, I will sing to God and about God. To God and about God. That's what David's doing. Number 2, I will know the God of the Bible. I want to know more about Jesus. Say, what will be a successful year 2022? You end the year, I know more about Jesus this year. I know more about Jesus. Excuse me. Rand Hummel for years was the director at the Wilds. He's now the director at the Wilds of New England Christian Camp. Rand Hummel said his devotional life changed when he stopped looking for things for him in his devotional reading, his Bible time. He said, when I started looking for things about God, he said, everything changed as I would read my Bible in the mornings. May I encourage you, look for the precious promises, find things that are thrilling and excite you. But you want to be revolutionized, start looking at the Bible for things about the Lord. Teach me more about you. Go to verse 1. God is merciful, faithful, steadfast love, and he is just. He has the information and the ability to always do what is right. He will always do what is right. Sing about that. Learn to look for the verses and things about God. How many of you that sound like a pretty good I will for 2022? I will learn more about my God. About my God. He says, I will sing to God and about God. I will know the God of the Bible. And the last 2 there says, I will walk in integrity. I'll walk in integrity. I came across a fellow a few years ago before I got sick, and he used the word thin. and then thin and hollow, use them interchangeably, talking about this idea of integrity. When we are one way to different people and another way privately, when we are, when our personas don't match up, when there's a lack of integrity, he says you become thin or hollow, become empty. By the way, you can be really successful and really well thought of being completely hollowed out. He said the idea of integrity is that things are together. And that there should be no difference between public and private. By the way, I think it's important that he says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Because isn't that where most of us get our integrity messed up right there? We're too far into a chat room. We're too long lingering at things we've got no business. We figured out how to do the digital world in such a way that we see images and things that we have no business seeing. We've learned to hide and mask our trail. We've learned to hide it from a spouse or a girlfriend or a boyfriend. We've learned these things. And again, that's one of the reasons when you go to someone or someone's trying to help people who have an addiction like that, they will talk about the fact that they are completely empty inside. You let an affair begin and start emotionally and moves to the physical or relational state. And one of the first things is the guilt is eating them alive because they feel eaten up inside. They are thinned out or hollow. David said, I will have done that before. I'm not doing that again. I will walk in integrity. I will guard my eyes. Guard my eyes. I will guard my eyes. And then he moves. He says, I'll guard my heart. Guard my heart. How many of us figure out that our eyes feed our heart and they all kind of work together, my affections and those things? I will do that. I will do that. Every so often, we had a kind of a vision meeting, just a few folks, and trying to have different ones of those this first few months of the year. And a couple of men said in particular, the devil would like nothing better than to mess us up from the inside. By the way, that's true. Integrity, there's a fourth one there. It says, I will walk in holiness. I will walk in holiness. Holiness means I'm more interested in what God thinks than what anybody else does. I want to live in such a way to please Him. In such a way to please Him. I had a mentor some years ago. he said, growing up, he said, in my house, he grew up in the Charlotte, North Carolina area. He said, the words, I love you and I'm proud of you, flowed around our home like oxygen. I love you and I'm proud of you. He said, I thought everybody was that way. I went home with a buddy for one weekend when I was in Bible college. He said, and it wasn't that way there. He said, I was stunned. People took out the garbage. Nobody said, I love you, I'm proud of you. They sat down, they went to bed, they got up. He thought something was bad wrong. Said, I called home. Said, wasn't this the way it was with grandma and grandpa? And they both said no. But we, when we came to Christ, we decided we're raising our children differently. And we were going to tell them what we thought of them because that's how God felt to us. And we wanted you to grow up knowing you were accepted and worthy and beloved. And you would pass it on and break the chains that we had experienced as children. And so he said, man. He said, you did it because why? He said, I did it because that's how God viewed me. And we wanted him to know that we understood that and we wanted to live that way. And you children reciprocated that. Your heart was to us, you and your sister, my mentor and his sister, that you wanted to please us. Let me help you this morning. Holiness says, I want to please you, King Jesus. Oh, my heavenly Father, proud of me. I'll guard my eyes and guard my mouth and guard my heart. I will give to Jesus all that I have. And when I mess up, I understand that He's a loving, merciful Heavenly Father. And He wants me to succeed and to live for Him. And I will pursue that because it matters what my Father thinks of me. It matters that I please Him. It matters that I please Him. I will. I will. I will. I will. The fellows that brought you the movie, Christian movie, Fireproof, and then later the prayer room and the war room. Before that, they made a little, or in the middle of that, they made a little movie called Courageous and directed it squarely at men. It caught on so well, they published a Bible study, The Resolution. We've actually done it here a few years ago. At the end of the movie, they got permission. They'd finished their service. And the man who was the actor, who again was a part of that church, got up and gave his recitation on what God had taught him. And there in that service where they had prayed for God to use this film, and again it launched out kind of a movement, he says these words at the end, and I close. Again, as part of this glorified sermon that they recorded here, it says, I believe that God desires for every man, woman, boy, and girl to step up courageously and do whatever it takes to please our Savior. But more than just being there for children or being a part of our spouse's lives, we're to walk with Him and be a representation of the character of God, our Father in heaven. We should seek to win the hearts of our children and nieces and nephews. We should protect them, discipline, teach them about God. He's talking about generational discipleship here. We should model how to walk with integrity and treat others with respect. We should be responsible men and women. We are inviting anyone whose heart is willing and courageous to join us in this resolution. In our home, single again, married, divorced, whatever you find yourself, widow, widower, he says the decision has already been made. You don't have to ask who will guide me in my house, because by God's grace, I will. You don't have to ask who will teach those around me to follow Jesus, because I will. Who will accept the responsibility of providing and protecting for my household? I will. Who will ask God to break the chains of destructive patterns and that this is a chain-breaking generation in my life? I will. Who will pray for and bless my family to boldly pursue whatever God calls them to do? And this is how it ends. I will. And it's theater and it's acting, but I'm telling you, it's convincing. Because man after man and woman after woman stand at the end of that program with their hand in the air. You can count on me. I will. I will. In 2022, I hope you say, I will. I will. Would you pray with me right now? Man, our hearts are full from the music. Our hearts are full as you sang. Hearts are full as some of you just about got those verses memorized and what God's word in you. Some of you have been sick and been out, and so this is the first time back in a minute, and you're just happy to be here with God's people.